Indian market is evolving very, very rapidly and has reached an inflection point. And keep in mind, this was pre-Jio, this was pre-UPI and so on, which essentially just accelerated the outcomes and opened markets up. But going into the 2010.
So, hi everyone, welcome to the podcast. So, today we're joined by a phenomenal guest, Sonal from 314 Capital. So, hi Sonal. So, first, I would like to get started with how did your stint at the Indian Institute of Science translate or help you in your VC role currently?
Okay, hi Ruhi, thanks for having me on the show. So I went to the Indian Institute of Science as a research assistant, where I was working in the my lab under Professor A. G. Ramakrishnan. And there the intention was to work on something that I thought was fairly cutting edge. We were working on speech synthesis as well as text-to-speech technology for Indian languages. This was a Government of India funded program that had various campuses participate and develop technology for the government itself. So we were working on Tamil and Kannada out of the IISc Institute. And there were a couple of takeaways. One of my intentions while I was there was also to understand what academia feels like and decide if this was a path for me from a career standpoint or not. I eventually decided not to go down that route because my sense was that the pace at which things were evolving was far more rapid, and the rate of feedback was much, much greater in the enterprise space as opposed to on the academic side. And so eventually I went in a different direction. But there was an intermediate stop after IISc before I got into venture as well. So that did have a role to play. In a nutshell, what IISc taught me is that there is a lot of technical rigor that people apply. And often, while you're at an institute and you're following a certain process, it's very hard to, once you're in a once you've committed to doing things a certain way, it's very hard to kill those ideas and then restart. Whereas in a startup, for example, everything is fair game, and the ultimate the outcome is what matters as opposed to how you eventually get there. So I think that was one of the more interesting takeaways now that I reflect back in terms of the pace and the velocity, as well as what is kept front and center between the academic space as well as one that's private enterprise. But from a VC job standpoint, the other takeaway that I had is that a lot of work that goes on the academic side is less polished as far as selling an idea is concerned, whereas on the venture side, because it's a lot of it has to do with convincing customers to adopt a product, convincing investors to give you money, and convincing other employees to join you and join you on a mission. A lot of it has to do with selling and selling well, and the ability to communicate ideas in a very succinct, convincing, and motivating fashion is something that was a very stark contrast between what I saw at IISc, which, not taking away from the fact that there are professors that go really deep and their classes are very compelling, but just the ability, if I had to index on the role of that ability, it's far lower in on the academic side as opposed to in venture capital and in startups.
Yeah, I think those were some really insightful takeaways. And I think some of the key takeaways that the audience can take away is there's a lot of technical rigor. And also, VC is a game of convincing people. So my next question is more so how did you convince people to join your vision, join your team, and to be a part of what you're building at 314 Capital?
So 314 has been a labor of love in the sense that we've been around since 2016. Our origins were rooted in the fact that we saw that the Indian market is evolving very, very rapidly and has reached an inflection point. And keep in mind, this was pre-Jio, this was pre-UPI and so on, which essentially just accelerated the outcomes and opened markets up. But going into the 2010s, we'd noticed that there was a lot of private enterprise that was supported by the demographic changes, the disposable income that was available, as well as individuals being, the markets that were opening up, as well as individuals being more open to start companies as opposed to join them. And that also made it a fertile ground for capital to come in and play a role. So a lot of capital from overseas had started to come into India to build companies. And so the intention with 314 was also to take advantage of the fact that we are, we have the presence on ground, and we are from a cohort of people that are younger and have access to these markets, and create mission-driven capital that is much more founder-friendly and much more empathetic to where founders are coming from and the markets that they're solving for. So from that perspective, I think every new fund that's launched is always fairly difficult, given that the ecosystem is small, it's tight-knit. Founders don't often have, founders have recall for the largest brands that have the longest vintages, but new entrants are have to prove their worth. And on both sides, both or actually three sides to this equation, the founders, the LPs that we raise from, as well as the people that we employ, there was a lot needed to be done to convince them to work with us closely. So in bringing people into 314, I think a large part of it was Pranav, Siddharth, Anurag, really selling the vision for a different kind of firm, a firm that is going to be much more inclusive in the kind of people that it recruits, as well as the kind of founders that it backs, and works with a different like kind of work ethic that is disproportionate to the amount of capital that we've put in, the amount of or the percentage of the company that we own, as well as the kind of outcomes that we're chasing. So to that extent, I think a lot of mission-driven people we've managed to attract, and then successfully recruit and retain as well. So the interesting thing is we've been around since 2016. I joined the fund in early 2017, and I've been here since. And a number of my colleagues, especially at the vice principal level and beyond, vice president level and beyond, have been here since virtually the beginning, which makes this one of a fairly unique place where we're indexing very heavily on helping grow talent internally. And I think that was one of the biggest draws for all of us, where we bought into the vision and we had very strong conviction in the kind of outcome that 314 was going up.
I think that's a really great thing that you're doing, that you're helping to grow the talent internally. And so my next question is more along the lines of, so what is exactly the 314 capital investment thesis? And like, how did this thesis come to be? Like, was it just like you just woke up one day and you just had this idea? Or like, how did that thesis come about?
Yeah, so 314 is a fund based in India and primarily investing in companies that are building for the Indian market. Although we do invest in companies that have a global GTM as well, but that's a smaller portion of where we allocate capital. So the thesis, I think, if we step back and look at, like I was describing, the Indian market's evolution, we'd seen a couple of inflection points, and these were largely centered around domestic consumption and things that ultimately support domestic consumption or global consumption for that matter. So we took a couple of calls early on. We said we need to be sector agnostic as a firm because the Indian market is still nascent, and the tailwinds that are available for company formation could be different depending on what period of time we're looking at. But over a 7 to 10 year horizon, the rising tide will lift all boats. The second thing that we said is that in terms of where we need to focus, seed is where the funnel narrows the most. So that's the stage that we should be a part of. And it's also, if we're to adjust for risk, it was also the most rewarding given how early we were part of companies and the kind of outcomes that we could eventually be a part of. And third, we just liked the ability to preempt certain outcomes that we think will occur and start to become part of the general consciousness. and take a bold bet, working closely with founders that are high quality and mission driven and very intellectually honest with themselves as well. So all of that led to a focus on seed stage. We also said we must lead the rounds that we invest in. So that helped us size the fund up in a way that allows us to do that. And in terms of the themes that we're pursuing, these are across SaaS, enterprise and SMB digitization, fintech, consumer internet, and digital health. So across these areas, we think there was an opportunity to take advantage of the emerging markets in India in each of these areas, but also on a global scale, compete with some of the best companies in the world to take products out of India international. So that's happened, especially on the SaaS side, but increasingly so in enterprise SMB automation as well. So that's in a nutshell how we've thought about how we invest and the stage that we come in at.
Really interesting that, you know, you mentioned about how you invest in India and for the Indian market. So I'm just curious to hear your thoughts on like why India and why now? Like, do you have any like thesis or like observations about like why you invest only in India and why is now the opportune time to be investing into Indian companies?
Yes. So like I was describing earlier, I think one thing that we centered on fairly early on is that it's important to be on the ground and be exposed to a market that we're a part of. And by virtue of the fact that we're all a team based in Bangalore and we travel extensively around the world, yes, but also domestically, makes a big difference in terms of the kind of value add and input and the role that we can play in helping shape company outcomes and create these more or less will them into existence. So like I was saying, the Indian market has kind of become the mainstay globally in terms of where it's a bastion of growth if you look at it from a global standpoint, and all the macro numbers that are emerging lately all point in that direction. I think the United States is undisputedly number one. China's rate of growth has slowed down for various reasons. Since COVID, they've struggled to revive domestic consumption, and they have other issues with consumer debt and so on. And markets like Japan and the UK and so on continue to trail. So we went through a fairly large momentous shift in terms of the global pecking order as far as the GDP rankings go. And India just overtook the UK last year with $3.4 billion GDP on a nominal basis. So what that means is, while these are 2023 numbers, back in 2016, there were already signs of these kind of outcomes that were being projected out, purely on the basis of the kind of demographic base that we had, the kind of policies that were shaping up, as well as patterns that people had identified and seen around the world when some of these confluences factors come together. And last but not the least, the Indian economy has always been at a point where industry and jugaad and so on are seen as ways to get things done and really create products that are innovative. So I think that public-private partnership combined with the kind of talent density, combined with the just being in the Goldilocks zone from a population pyramid standpoint, all came together to create very fertile ground for enterprise formation. And that's what we decided we must go all in on. We get a span of maybe 30, 35 years to be able to take advantage, and private capital and seed capital is a big part of making that journey possible.
I love how bullish you are on India and like how you invest in India and stuff. And so, but like, do share how the audience can get in touch with you, how they can pitch, and how they can learn more about like what you guys are building at 314.
Sure, Ruhi. So we're fairly easy to reach. We're on most social platforms. We have a website at 314capital.com. We're active on LinkedIn, on Twitter, and our emails are always, we make sure to respond to every email that we get as well. So that means we're not sort of gatekeeping or limiting how accessible we are. We want to make sure that we're available to every founder who's looking to reach out and talk to us.
So if you're listening to this podcast right now, I have an open opportunity to reach this audience. So if you want to reach college students and freshers interested in startups and venture capital, and just in terms of the demographics, the age of 18 to 22 is the highest age demographic in India, and US are the two largest country demographics of listeners for this podcast. Email me at bizpodruhi@gmail.com. So thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode, and hope you've learned something new.